I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
To Galuff's testimony and the fact that now he's on the run, afraid for his life because he exposed Biden family business dealings.
Well, I'm glad you're bringing it up. Miranda Devine did great work again. She got the video. What's very interesting about Dr. Luft is he's an energy expert, had a think tank, consulted with people like CIA Director James Woolsey, Robert McFarland, and he was consulting with CEFC, the same Chinese company connected to the Communist Party that was paying the Bidens millions of dollars. When he heard that Joe Biden was going to be running for president, that alarmed him because he knew how compromised Joe Biden would be. So he met with two prosecutors from the Southern District of New York and four FBI agents in Brussels for 2 days in March of 2019.
That is a very compelling story. And of course, let me bring you up to speed on it. Let's begin first by reminding you we are July 10, 2023. We are live streaming as I speak during the noon hour. And, of course, then we have the 6 o'clock report. But if you want to join the live stream at noon, you go to Larry Connors USA at Rumble.com, or you go to Rumble.com and you go to News Talk STL. We're on both channels, and we're going to expand that. Got some great news for you coming up on that, hopefully by tomorrow. Then, of course, then we have our 6 o'clock report. Glad to have you here with us right now. So what you are listening to then is Senator Ron Johnson talking about your Dr. Gal Luft. He's an Israeli citizen. We discussed him last week, and this is reaching a point now where I know where many people are saying, oh, this is a bunch of baloney. Nobody's threatening this guy's life. He's going around. He's perfectly safe. Just because he has some information on the Bidens, no one's trying to kill him. Riddle me this. If you were in his position and you knew the information he claims that he says he has, would you feel safe? Really? I don't think you would. I wouldn't. Let me put it that way. Now, again, he is co-director of the Institute for the Analysis of Global Security at one point. He's a 57-year-old and considered at this point by Senator Ron Johnson, you are listening to in Wisconsin, and also Senator Grassley in the Senate as well, as a key witness to the Biden crime family monies. He was doing business on behalf of various agencies with the Chinese Communist Energy Company back in 2019. And then when he began to hear and see rumblings, and of course we don't have his full statement in front of us yet, but when we began to see and hear some rumblings that maybe Joe Biden was going to be running for president, and he knew that the Biden family had already been accepting money in various fashions, according to his complaint, his issues, he got very frightened. I don't know of many Israelis who get frightened about much of anything, to be quite honest. And this guy's an Israeli professor, but he's on the inside. Last week, he did a 14-minute video that was handed to Miranda Devine, or she got it in some fashion or another, and a lot of it got run by the New York Post, which we told you about. Mainstream, corporate, state-controlled media have just walked off the planet. They don't see it. They don't hear it. They don't talk about it. But we are going to, because depending on exactly what he has information-wise and what he can prove, it's going to be very damning, much less damaging, to the Biden administration. Now, let's go back to the point that Senator Johnson was making, saying that Dr. Luft, when he began to have some concern, met with various officials of our government and others, and among them were four FBI agents meeting them in Brussels. Later he got very concerned because of the FBI agents. They had different parts of the Biden storyline in their hands. They already had an agenda, at least in his opinion. And in fact, according to him, one of the FBI agents was directly compromised. Senator Johnson.
One of the FBI agents was the same agent then that signed the subpoena from the Hunter Biden laptop. So, you know, Dr. Luft has shown is the same financial transactions, the millions of dollars, the $100,000 per month retainer for Hunter, $65,000 for James Biden, paid by CESC. He's got a wealth of information, but they never followed up on that meeting. Instead, they arrested him in Cyprus to silence him. They could have gone to Israel. He resides in Israel. We have extradition treaties, but they instead arrest him in Cyprus. Now, he's literally fleeing for his life right now. He's on the run. He's an important witness. He needs to be granted immunity to be able to testify and tell his story.
And I think that's a starting point. But so far, we're not seeing any effort on behalf of the Democrats to help do that. Look, I don't care what your political affiliations are. I've told you that numerous times. Even if you're a Trumper, you and I might still disagree. That's okay. We're free to do so in this country. But this man believes truly his life is in danger, so he is on the run. And until he gets some additional protection and guarantees that he can testify and be properly protected, he may have to stay that way. Let's go back to a report that was filed last week when it became apparent from the video he released to Miranda and then was published by the New York Post.
For 4 years, I was senior advisor to the China energy company CFC at the same time of its dealings with the Biden family. Under normal circumstances, I would be testifying before Congress about my experience with CFC. Sadly, due to circumstances I shall describe here in this video, I am forced to tell you this story via video.
There are no normal circumstances in this case. That was the missing witness from the Biden corruption investigation. His name is Israeli professor Dr. Gal Luft. He laid out his bribery allegations against the president's family in an extraordinary video filmed in an undisclosed location while he is at this moment on the run.
On the run. Now, you were listening then to a Fox reporter trying to put a little bit more perspective in front of you. But let's go right back to some of the words spoken directly by Dr. Gal Luft.
I shared my information about the Biden family's financial transactions with CFC, including specific dollar figures. But perhaps the most alarming information I revealed was of a mole within the DOJ who shared classified information with Hunter Biden and his Chinese partners. After Brussels, I never heard back from the DOJ. But instead of showing appreciation for my whistleblowing, I became public enemy number one.
The mole had the nickname, believe it or not, One Eye. One Eye. It's amazing some of these nicknames they can come up with. Sardine. One Eye. Cushy Cushy. Whatever. But he became aware there was a mole and everything he was telling them was going right to the Biden family. And some of what he has detailed that he says he has information to back it up, that the Communist Party under this energy company, was paying $100,000 a month to Hunter Biden, $65,000 to Jim Biden. He said, over that two-day intense meeting in Brussels, I shared all my information about the Biden family financial transactions with that Chinese energy company and others, including specific dollar amounts. I provided the name of Rob Walker, who later became known as Hunter Biden's bag man. Now, again, these are the claims by Dr. Gal Luft. You don't believe them. You don't believe that he's telling the truth. You don't even believe that he's under threat. You don't believe he needs to worry about his life. He's just a gadfly wanting some publicity. You want to believe that? Okay. You can do that. Many things have been said about these whistleblowers coming forward from the IRS about how they got shut down looking into Hunter Biden and his monies he was getting and where it was going. In fact, one of my guests a couple of weeks ago, John LaBoutière, had said, these whistleblowers, they're not even doing it right. They're on TV. They wouldn't be doing that. I said, they felt they had no other option, John. They weren't getting any traction anywhere else. And by going public, they at least had some protection. That was at least their belief. Well, John still doesn't accept that, and that's fine. That's his opinion. But let me remind you of something. Last week, the New York Times made an admission, as reported by the Hill correspondents.
The New York Times has independently confirmed a key claim in the Hunter Biden whistleblower saga. Gary Shapley, a lead IRS official in the Biden probe, alleged that U.S. Attorney David C. Weiss, the lead Department of Justice prosecutor on that case, was rejected by federal prosecutors in Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles when he requested that Biden be charged for tax crimes committed in 2014 and 2015 in those jurisdictions.
In a June 27th report from the New York Times, writers Glenn Thrush and Michael S. Schmidt write in the 21st paragraph, quote, in mid-2022, Mr. Weiss reached out to the top federal prosecutor in Washington, Matthew Graves, to ask his office to pursue charges and was rebuffed, according to Mr. Shapley's testimony.
Do you also note that they point out it was in down in paragraph 22, bearing the lead again, that he was not allowed to continue to pursue investigation of Hunter Biden? No surprise there, right? There's something new about Tucker Carlson I want to share with you. Things you might never have heard from him and what he currently thinks of Donald Trump.
Tucker Carlson says the RFK is more of a threat to the mainstream media establishment than Donald Trump. So, with RFK getting support from both sides of the aisle, is Tucker Carlson right? Could RFK be the man to bring down the establishment? Should I just ask him?
How hard is it to imitate Russell Brand? Beyond imitation. I never in my life thought that I, a longtime viewer, would be addressing 6.4 million awakening wonders and bringing them on a journey to truth and freedom.
Those are the words of Tucker Carlson as he was being interviewed by Russell Brand. Now, he is looked more at as an English comedian and actor, very flamboyant, obviously. And has three British Comedy Awards. Some might say, look, he's just a comedian, and now Tucker's playing circus with him. But he asked some legitimate questions and got some very interesting answers from Tucker. We're going to have more of this, I will tell you, in the second hour. But right now, let me set this up for you again. In this case, Brand wanted Tucker to come on board and discuss some pressing issues, not just having fun as he was then. And some of the things Tucker Carlson says are going to be extremely upsetting to the swamp and many Republicans in particular, and certainly those who hate Donald Trump. And Tucker Carlson continues to have his own Twitter feed, which gets millions and millions of viewers on a constant basis, more than he had on Fox News. They can't keep him off Twitter. The non-compete apparently applies only to broadcast medium, and Twitter is outside that. But as I've said, I'm sure many anchor contracts with high-priced talent, they would not include me, are being rewritten to say, if you leave us, you can't go on any other station in town in any fashion, and you can't even go on Twitter, Facebook, da-da-da-da-da. And you can't write a letter to your Aunt Mary either, because she might decide to use that. But aside from the constrictions he's under, Tucker has continued to stay relevant and make a very strong voice on what he thinks. And this was a new and a different opportunity for him. So let's go back to the Russell Brand, comedian, and yet also a talk show host in a way, question to Tucker Carlson.
Where are you on Donald Trump now? And particularly perhaps how that relates to the emergence of radical anti-establishment figures within the Democrat Party, notably RFK.
Where am I on Trump now? Well, I love Trump. Personally, I mean, I made a huge mistake last November in getting involved in American politics, something I've never done before, and making calls, you know, this guy's going to win. I think this is going to happen in this state. Meet your new governor, New York, stuff like that. And I was wrong on almost every call. I'm not a very astute political analyst. I'm not interested in politics. I never have been interested in politics. I'm interested in ideas. I'm interested in people. And so there's a primary going on in the United States between Trump and a bunch of other people, primarily Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, but others, Vivek Ramaswamy, for example. And I haven't said word one about it. Don't plan to. I think looking back on this 10 years from now, assuming we're still around, I think we're going to see Trump's emergence as the most significant thing to happen in American politics in 100 years, because he reoriented the Republican Party against the wishes of Republican leaders.
Do you agree with that statement? There's no doubt he has shaken the foundations of the Republican Party and reshaped as well. He's been a disruptor. And a lot of folks that didn't like him in the beginning and still think he's way too brash and out of control don't see anyone else who can come forward and carry the banner they want carried to the general election from the Republican side. And as you heard him, Russell Brand, point out earlier, that Tucker's saying, you know, John F. Kennedy Jr., he might well be a better candidate than anyone else on the Biden ticket or Biden himself. But Tucker Carlson made it clear. He said, look, I don't like getting into politics and deciding races. I made a mistake on that before. I don't want to do it again. But if I'm going to look at this in a perspective, Donald Trump has been a molding and an actual device that has changed the Republican Party. Biggest change in 100 years. And not only for the Republican Party, but for the nation. You can argue against it, but I think you'd be losing that argument. Whether or not you like him, he has had that kind of effect. As I said, we'll have more on the Tucker Carlson interview for you in the second hour. But coming up, there's a story that you probably should already know. Folks want to get out of California. Now there's a warning. Get out of L.A. Get out now. Plus, SCOTUS and universities, lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Well, as you know, we have the Supreme Court ruling deciding that basically affirmative action should not be used as a device for getting students into or out of school, or is that exactly a clear understanding of it? To give us a better picture, and more importantly, how some universities and colleges are already looking to how to circumvent the Supreme Court ruling is Sherrisse Trump. I always need to emphasize, Sherrisse, I know you're aware of it, but I had to reemphasize, Sherrisse Trump is not related to that Trump. She is the executive director of Speech First, her organization, suing higher education institutions over policies that often infringe on students' rights. Glad to have you on board again.
Hey, great to be back. Thanks for having me.
So this decision to basically the court ruling on affirmative action, what was your first thought?
Well, I mean, it's a huge win. I mean, it's a huge win for meritocracy, honestly. Anyone who believes in, working hard for and getting rewarded for what you've actually earned. It's a big deal for students who, even students of racial minorities who now know that when they get into a university it's not because of the color of their skin. It's not because they're the diversity hire or they're the diversity applicant. It's because they actually earned it. And so this is something that I think is going to immensely help with mental health students, not second guessing themselves or having imposter syndrome is how they term it. Lead us down a great path of like confidence, inspiring stories. And, so now we can talk more about how people have overcome the adversities in their life and not just reward them for facing adversity on its own. Yeah,
let me break down something you said. You talk positively about how we're going to get rid of affirmative. You're not going to be allowed in because of your skin color. But the two cases that were actually in front of the court were basically folks are being denied because of their color. Asians.
Right, exactly.
So, ironically, it had been turned upside down.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's very clear from the beginning that affirmative action, although it was designed to benefit races that were being discriminated against, it was a discriminatory practice. I mean, it was the only way that you can benefit one race based on their racial characteristics over another is by discriminating against the other races based on their racial characteristics. So that logical loop is basically why, or that logical, circle essentially is why it turned into this incredibly discriminatory practice where Asians and whites who scored incredibly high on test scores were getting rejected from some of the top universities because they didn't match the skin color of what the universities wanted to do with their quotas.
It seems to me like the proper way for submission would be at this point, no gender listing and no full name, and certainly only their grades and so forth, and no reference to ethnic background, that it would be that blind fact in front of them to determine, is this student someone we want?
Yeah, I mean, again, it comes down to, America is a country of meritocracy, and we are firm believers in, pulling yourself up from your bootstraps and, earning what you've, working hard for what you've earned. And it's those types of principles and that mentality that has made America so successful on the innovation front. And if you look at today, if you look at a lot of our math scores and our reading scores, we are falling behind quite a bit, especially when comparing to very competitive, and hostile nations like China. And, if we're actually serious about taking, encouraging students to try hard in school, and if we're actually serious about getting those scores up higher, then we can't afford to just make people feel better by letting them into schools, even though they don't qualify to get into those schools.
And if their name ends is something Yang, maybe they need to change it to Yankee. Would that help? I mean, what are they going to do? Let's begin, first of all, how are they going to actually put this in place at this point if they have a desire to?
Well, this is what's really important for everyone who cares about this issue is, this case has been won. The court has struck down that affirmative action, they've said it's unconstitutional and that it leads to discrimination. It's a violation of 14th Amendment rights. But it's important that we realize that is not the end here. This is not, we didn't win, now it's over. We actually have to get to work now, and we actually have to call universities out when they continue these discriminatory practices. There's a lot of folks right now who are writing about how universities are planning to get around this ruling because the ruling essentially is talking about the actual formal affirmative action policy, which creates these quotas, right, that says that you have to have this certain number of each race in your school. And although Harvard and UNC denied that they had quotas, they actually, inevitably were called out in the majority opinion by Roberts, they did actually have quotas. So right now, what's important for us to do is recognize when universities are still attempting to discriminate on the basis of race, even if they're not using a quota system.
So they're going to ignore the U.S. Supreme Court ruling law of the land and look for a way to get around it.
Right, because at the end of the day, they want to, they firmly believe that they need to have a certain number of minorities represented in their university.
Based on what?
Exactly. Well, this is what Clarence Thomas argues in his opinion, and this is what he called them out during the oral arguments, is explain to me how diversity actually improves education. And neither of the universities could actually give him an answer. There was just no evidence. There's no proof. There's just nothing that they could say that would actually validate that diversity is the end goal. Diversity is a means to things, but it's not the end goal.
Well, on one hand, if you put just the Asian scores up, your university's numbers are going to be really great.
Right. And but it should encourage, you know, in a marketplace of ideas, it should encourage other students to want to accomplish higher scoring, higher test scores in those fields if they want to be competitive to get into these schools. Right. And that's what we need to focus on our education system for.
You're listening to Sherrese Trump, and of course her agency looks out for students and speech director of Speech First. But you mentioned organizations, which leads us into business, and now they're already having some. There's a Harvard law professor saying, you know, the implications of the Supreme Court decision will have some severe impact on business.
Yeah. I don't really see the connection on how that will have an impact on business. They can make all the arguments they want, but at the end of the day, the Constitution supersedes all of their opinions and their desires to make people feel good about themselves. And this is what's so unique and important about our country, is that we do pride merit over just benefiting people for various reasons, whether it be race, whether it be their status. And one thing that was mentioned in Roberts' opinion is that, and he called the dissenting opinion out for this, was that they can't just rely on application essays and other means to get around this. Because we all know universities have been preparing for this lawsuit for a while now, and they definitely have alternative methods of trying to get around the quota system, right? They're trying to eliminate standardized testing. They're trying to get rid of LSAT requirements. They're doing pass-fail for MCATs because they don't want proof that they are discriminating. They don't want the numbers to show it, which is how we were able to show it this time that they were discriminating. What they want to do is use softer systems such as like essays or interview processes. And so it's up to us to make sure we really keep an eye on them and really make sure that they're enforcing the law properly.
And it also appears to me that you're going to see future such cases raised and challenging.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to be seeing future lawsuits for sure.
Sherrese Trump, as always, I thank you. She's the executive director of Speech First. I do appreciate your time.
Yeah, great. Thanks for being on.
All right. Coming up, there's a new name and an old name still trying to be relevant, and it suddenly surfaced in a story over the weekend. Listen to this, please.
The 2024 race for the White House is heating up. Just yesterday, the Trump campaign announced a staggering second quarter fundraising haul. And amid Biden's struggles, Trump's 2016 opponent, yes, her, Hillary Clinton, is raising speculation yet again. She's headlining a list of speakers at the NAACP National Convention. But according to a new Gallup survey, independents are quickly on the rise, with 44% of Americans no longer identifying with either major political party. So, does this open the door for a possible third-party candidate? According to many reports, the so-called No Labels group, a growing centrist movement, is eyeing a third-party run. And with West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin at the top of their list, Democrats are raising alarm.
Whoa, raise the alarm. And here's Hillary to stand in. And in fact, they published the report the other day of who's going to be speaking at the NAACP convention coming up in Boston. Guess who's headlining? Well, you got it. You win. You don't win much, but you win. Former Secretary of State and presidential, ex-presidential candidate Hillary Clinton will headline a list of speakers for the NAACP convention in Boston later this month. Just perfect timing, wouldn't you say? Among the others would be Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, Tennessee Congressman Justin Jones, both expelled from the House of Representatives after leading a gun control protest following a mass shooting. But as they point out, by according to the NAACP president and their statement, each year NAACP members and friends gather at a convention in a shared space that has proven vital for our collective growth and advocacy. They're going to do this in Boston. They're not going to go anywhere where there might actually be some opposition. Contrast that, by the way, would you please, to the Democrat National Convention planning to be held in Chicago? Well, of course, it's a blue city and blue state, but with all the crime and efforts, they want to hold it in Chicago? We've told you numerous times, by the way, about how many stories are involved in getting people out of California, the U-Haul trucks going only one way. A big name artist you might associate with, I like some of his stuff, says, get the hell out of L.A. Do it now. The city of angels is more like the city of devils. And one prosecutor says, it's only going to get worse. Stand by, please. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website, see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's 1,000 miles in 18 hours. I got a double drive down southbound 35. I got the hammer down, Detroit made. 525 pushing my ass right down that line. That smell of burning diesel fuel just tells me that I'm back out on the
road. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, I've got some great news coming up for you in a moment. I'll share before we wrap up the 6 o'clock hour for you. This is going to be pretty exciting, and I'm glad the station is helping promote it even more, another option, more options, I should say, for you to join and either watch live or listen live in a different way as well to Larry Connors USA. And it all comes down to your support for this program. And I encourage you to please continue supporting the sponsors of the program because they are critical for us staying on the air. And We want to load up every spot with my sponsors, believe me. And if you want to take a look at some of the numbers, get an idea, you can write me directly, Larry Connors USA at gmail.com. I'll give you some very clean, direct numbers, be very clear for you as to how to get a very simple package in front of you and get you on the air immediately. LarryConnorsUSA.com. I encourage you to do that. You may or may not be a Republican, and I don't care. Are you a patriot? That's my first concern, if you're a patriot. And if you're a patriot, you should have a great deal of concern about what I'm going to share with you right now. This is one of these reviews that I thought surely no one is going to come out and complain against this Sound of Freedom drama that tracks the global sex trade of children, because that's another part of our mission. Patriotism, God, family, country, defend the unborn. You may have a disagreement with me on that, or it may just come down to a matter of what weeks. But also protect our children from predators, be they getting into their mind or their bodies. But we're talking specifically about those who are being brought across from other countries into this nation and our open border. And the Biden administration is aware of it and continues to let it happen. How the hell do you sleep at night knowing you're responsible for some five-year-old child being brought across our border under a false pretense of belonging to a particular family and then dropped off at a sex den? That's basically the story of Rolling Freedom, I mean of Sound of Freedom. But here comes the Rolling Stones' Mike Klee, Miles Klee. I'm sorry I even mentioned his name. I could care less. The publication has some good reporting from time to time, has broken some good stories. It might be too liberal for some, too conservative for others, but this is what really gets me. He decided he wants to make a very big, powerful statement, and he did. He said, this crowd watching of those who went in and out to watch this Sound of Freedom, which is, again, focusing on child sex trade. He said, it's a delusion. It's a delusion. It's a delusion that children are being brought across our borders and then dropped off in sex dens. Total delusion. And it's not just children. It's not just young girls. It's also young boys. And it's also women. On a constant basis, from time to time, on the docks of some wharf in L.A. or somewhere, they'll open up a container because of the smell. They find women crowded in there, all dead. No one came to get them out. Rolling Stone was also attacking the movie star, of course, who had played Jesus in another movie. But he said, what they're really doing, he said, all those people that are supporting the Sound of Freedom are QAnon supporters. That's a lie. That's a lie. I know many who have gone. They have nothing to do with QAnon. But again, the Rolling Stone, I won't say fiction writer, but movie reviewer, claims this underground holy war between patriots and a sinister legion of evildoers who are harvesting the blood of children. It's just all delusional. You have to bear with me for a moment. I'm taking a moment to try to collect myself in the way I approach the next few lines, because he said, in this audience, which he makes a point to say, mostly white-haired audience, would be gasping, moaning in pity, mutter condemnation, applaud, even yell from time to time, amen, at where the star is proclaiming that God's children are not for sale. I didn't think I would find anyone in even the state-controlled media that would have not just the guts, but the audacity, the stupidity, the idiocy of saying it's delusional about children being kidnapped and brought across state line for sex purposes. Well, Rolling Stone found one. You talk about being delusional. There's your perfect example. All right. Is it now time to get out of L.A.?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Rapper 50 Cent, as he is known, warning L.A. County and L.A. the city is about to get out of control, he writes, over its bail policy, allowing more criminals to walk free. The rapper posting a local news clip about the far-left bail reform saying, quote, L.A. is finished. Watch how bad it gets out there. Shaking my head.
Shaking my head. That was kind of the tweet and a piece put up on Instagram, as reported by Fox News. Yeah, rapper 50 Cent, whether or not you're a big fan of his, he said, L.A. is finished. He said they are going to now be mourning the crisis in the City of Angels as getting worse because they're going to reinstate a no-bail policy. The 48-year-old rapper, real name Curtis Jackson, had stated, L.A. is finished. Just watch how bad it gets out there. Include video of a TV segment about the ruling, which eliminates bail for anyone charged with a misdemeanor or nonviolent felony. That's similar to New York's reforms. LA officials implemented the no bail policy during the COVID-19 pandemic to ease pressure of the crowded city jail so you wouldn't get COVID while you're in jail. And then decreed that inmates already behind bars for crimes such as shoplifting, vandalism, drug possession to be released. Let's stop it right there. Many of those who were in jail probably for shoplifting, vandalism, drug possession also had numerous other charges against them. They probably pled them out to take a reduced sentence and accept one or two of the lesser penalties. But now, the idea is back in July it expired, but now a judge has ruled the cash bail system is unconstitutional and wants to reinstate the order. The reaction from an Orange County former prosecutor, very clear.
Zero bail was an excuse by our judicial council, which controls our courts. It was already being discussed and ready to be implemented before the pandemic. The pandemic became the excuse to implement zero bail. The legislature in California, where I served for 6 years in the state assembly, tried to pass zero bail under Senator Hertzberg, and it did, and then the voters had to overturn it. So let's get real. I'm not a listener of 50 Cent, but he has a lot of influence and a lot of followers, and it's about time that the music industry and Hollywood elite got their arms around this problem and started to speak out.
I said former prosecutor, he's a current prosecutor, that's Todd Spitzer of Orange County. And he pointed out something that was already happening anyway. It was all part of the back to defund police, open the jail doors, let everybody out. Everybody be fine. I have yet to see a single progressive Democrat and all the Hollywood elites suddenly say, we got extra room, they can come stay with us. No. And in fact, Beyonce's, I want to say grandmother, could be mother, I'm not sure, she had something like $800,000 worth of jewelry stolen from her home. Should they even bother tracking down the person? What difference does it make? Nobody was hurt. But if you're going to continue to have that, you're going to have more people hurt. This philosophy that is based in a crack cocaine pipe dream Everybody should be free, man. Do what you want to do. Come and go. This makes hippies look like Cub Scouts because they're already getting away with whatever they want in some of these areas. In blue cities, controlled by blue Democrats, and blue states as well. So a lot of them are leaving already California. They know it's going to get worse. If they're going to reinstate what they had dropped back in July, and you heard the prosecutor say, look, they were already doing this. COVID gave them an excellent control issue. It was a way to shackle and handcuff anybody trying to stop us from opening the doors. It's obviously upside down who's being handcuffed and put to the side compared to those who are being let go. And it's not going to get any better. Now, Todd Spitzer, again, the Orange County prosecutor, says you also have to look not just at the politicians, because they have their voices heard as well and reported, and those who are maybe anti-police anyway. But the L.A. Times is playing a major role in this.
It's always been the attempt. Listen, there's a social agenda sweeping America that was implemented before the pandemic. It was accelerated during the pandemic. Yep. And now that the pandemic's over, guess what? The social progressives are not going to allow the excuse of the pandemic to stop them from trying to transform America. And the worst enemy that's enabling all of this in Los Angeles is the LA Times. There's a front page article today in their editorial section all about we must provide housing first for the homeless. Mm-hmm. No. We have Reverend Andy Bales, who ran the rescue mission in L.A., driven out of L.A. because he had the gall to say, as an expert, you must provide mental diversion, mental illness diversion, mental health, and alcohol. Nope. When he said housing first doesn't work, they drove him out of the rescue mission. L.A. County has failed. It's beyond crisis. It's not rescuable. And oh, last point, Steve, did you know the homeless count went up in the last count? Why? Because the homeless are going in droves to LA County where they can get a $1 million house for free, while my son, who has a college education and just graduated, cannot afford to live in Los Angeles. What is upside down about this model?
He is not exaggerating. They now want to give a $1 million home. It won't be a big home in LA for $1 million, but it'll be a home. They can get it for free, or maybe a dollar. Can you find a dollar? Can you spare a dime? Can you spare a dime? Pretty soon you got 10 dimes, you got a dollar. You can buy a home. You can get it basically for free. They still have people in the L.A. area and elsewhere in California that are landlords. They might be a large company, so they can absorb it better, but some might be more of a mom and pop for retirement, decide to buy some properties, fix them up, rehab them, and have tenants in. They still cannot collect rent because they're using the COVID law to keep them from being forced to pay rent. Won't be long before mom and pop are out on the street. I feel for those of you who live in LA, it's got some beautiful areas, but is it worth it? Is it really worth it? This program is worth what you're hearing and even more. As I remind you, every day at noon, we do a live stream rumble. Here's some breaking news for you. Starting tomorrow, our noon live day rumble will not only be appearing on Rumble at Larry Connors USA or Rumble at News Talk STL, but also we're going to add News Talk Twitter, News Talk STL Twitter will carry us. Our Larry Connors USA Twitter will also be carrying us live. And Larry Connors USA Facebook, a lot of ways to join us on our live broadcast. As always, remember our pledge, one nation under God.